From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel. Outside Looking In is the title of Gary Wills' memoir. Wills is the academic classicist who turned to journalism while never leaving the academy. He has written over the years for National Review, Esquire, and for many years for the New York Review of Books. His own books about Nixon, Lincoln, and Christianity and many other subjects have been bestsellers, prize winners, and more important, cultural landmarks that have altered the way we talk and think about our history and our politics. Gary Wills joins us from Northwestern University in Evanston, Illinois, where he is professor of history emeritus. Welcome to the program.
Good to be here.
And first, this idea of outsiderness or outsiderliness, whatever. You've interviewed presidents, presidential candidates. You've been at the White House. One could say that you've been inside more interesting places than you've been outside. What do you mean by being an outsider?
Well, I was always inside as an observer, never as a participant. And I said that to myself very early on. When I first went to see Bill Buckley when I was in graduate school, he tried to hire me as a drama critic. And I said, no, I'm going to go on and get my doctorate. And so I was never a member of a staff of a magazine or a newspaper or a political campaign or any of those things, which I think helped me observe a little more dispassionately than I would have otherwise.
William F. Buckley, who created the National Review, is one of the people you write about. You also write very fondly about Studs Terkel, the great radio interviewer from Chicago, self-described old lefty.
Right.
Those friends cover a lot of ground on the political spectrum.
I know, but it was so easy to like them both, I must say. And it was impossible to dislike Studs. People tried hard, but if they got within his orbit, they failed.
He was famous for plain speaking. William F. Buckley, the most elegant speaker of recent times in our national life. You write that he was a man who perhaps wasn't quite so erudite as he came off in public.
No, he was not a person who really read. He was quick. He was as fast as could be at picking things up. Paul Weiss's professor at Yale said he's very good at discussing books he's never read.
A great talent for being a public intellectual.
Oh, absolutely. He tried for years to write a serious book and decided that that was not his métier.
You write about interviewing Richard Nixon when he was running for president in 1968 and asking a question that became a staple not only of yours but of all kinds of interviewers. The question had not been asked before. What's an influential book that you've read? I want you to relate what Nixon said.
Yeah, he was the most thoughtful respondent to that question. That's the first time I ever asked that question. Now it's asked all the times, but I thought I had made it up in 1968. Mm-hmm. But I asked many politicians later on. And the amazing thing is that his answer was long and thoughtful. It was the life of Beveridge, and it was not anything you would have expected.
You have to explain who Beveridge was here.
He was a Republican, but he was an admirer of John Marshall and the Federalists. So he was a maverick, as was Claude Bowers.
Who wrote the book.
Yeah. So it was an unexpected answer and a very wise answer, I thought.
There were no votes in that answer, so far as you
know. No. No, he really was an intellectually curious person.
Yeah. And as you described him in first the Esquire article, but later the book, Nixon Agonistes, he was a man who found it very advantageous to play down his intellect in public.
That's right. That's a regular game now. But he was early at it.
You proceeded to ask that same question about an influential book of several other people, and the answers you got are quite interesting, and never so impressive, I might add, as Nixon's answer.
Well, Hillary Clinton's was pretty impressive, too. I said to her, and she answered right away. Normally, they stall and try to think what will impress you. But she answered right away, The Brothers Karamazov. And I said, why? And she said, I read it in high school and it opened a whole range of spirituality I'd never even conceived of.
Now, when you asked the question of then Vice President George H.W. Bush, he was quite open. He didn't read much.
No, he said, now I don't have time. He said, of course, I read in school. You read the classics, Moby Dick. He said, the one that did impress me when I was in prep school was Catcher in the Rye, which was not published for until years and years after he was out of prep school. So I guessed that he was remembering that his sons had read it in prep school.
It was a very charitable guess on your part.
And he was piggybacking on them.
Now, there's a chapter in the book called Jack. It's about your father.
Mm-hmm.
And you describe this very dynamic, difficult man who would often, it seems, justify his persistence or recklessness by saying, "There is no such word as cannot in the Will's Dictionary." And you write, "One of the reasons I am a conservative is that I do not believe that cannot should be removed from the dictionary." What do you mean by that?
Well, what was in some ways charming, often exasperating about my father is that he really believed that there are no limits. You can do anything. And he could get away with anything. And often he did. But it's a ruinous course of life.
Perhaps the caution that comes with Kant is part of the making of a conservative.
And of a sane life. You know? I'm a great admirer of Samuel Johnson, who is a great believer in limits.
A theme that runs throughout your book and throughout your life is a love of books and the great importance of what great books have meant to you throughout your life. Does that make one an outsider in the
U.S.?
Well,
it can. It makes you look at things at a certain remove. Actually, you're at a remove, of course, when you're reading. And I was a bookworm from the very beginning and to this day. There's practically no minute of the day that I don't have a book in hand, when eating, when walking, and doing all kinds of things. So I suppose it can. It was a blessing in my case. Most of the good things that have happened in my life happened because of books, including meeting my wife.
Yes, she was the flight attendant who noticed what you were reading, and that's how you met.
Said I was too young to be reading Bergson.
You're too young to be reading Henri Bergson. I've never had a conversation with a flight attendant like that, I have to say.
No, she was a different one.
Yeah. Are you reading something interesting now?
Well, I'm reading a lot of interesting things. John Spike's Young Michelangelo just came out and is a wonderful book, as all his books are. I'm also reviewing Gary Trudeau's 40th anniversary volume of his Doonesbury series, a big, handsome book.
Mm-hmm.
And the amazing way he can keep up with timely events and treat them seriously and yet still be funny is something I can't fathom.
Well, Gary Wills, thank you very much for talking with us today.
It was a pleasure.
Gary Wills, whose memoir is called Outside Looking In, Adventures of an Observer. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.